Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Also want to remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me. You can find out more about the program. You can listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. We've got a number of past programs. I think I'm currently up to date to just this past Friday, which reminds me, if you're not aware of it, we have a Friday afternoon program every Friday afternoon on this station at 1:30 until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's in addition to our Sunday night program, where we're on from 10 o'clock until midnight. And when you look at the website, livewithpastoral.com, you'll see that the Sunday program is broken up into two segments, Hour 1 and Hour 2. And we do that for a couple of reasons. One reason is that sometimes it just makes it easier if you're listing some of the programs online to listen to it in an hour-long block rather than a two-hour block. And also, there are some people who join us in the 11 o'clock hour, for instance, who do not typically hear the first hour, the 10 o'clock hour. That's because we have some stations in Florida that pick us up at 11 o'clock. And then there's some people who are with us in the first hour, but they don't last until the second hour because, hey, this is late at night on Sunday night. A lot of people are tired and have to go to bed, get up in the morning, get ready for work or whatever, school. And so they go to bed and they don't stay up all the way till midnight, but they do hear the first hour of the program. And so, again, if you're only listening to one half of our Sunday night program, you can check out the other half, whether it's the first or the second hour. And that's all at livewithpastoral.com. And then, of course, there's a number of other things that are there. There's articles that I've written. Latest article I have on here is Why Talk About the Blessed Hope. That comes from Titus 2:13, where Paul wrote, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, talking about the catching away of the believers there. And so address that issue there. There's also some other materials and things that are there, so I encourage you to check us out at livewithpastoral.com. Also, there is a link to our church webpage, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and the Richfield Bible Baptist Church meets we're in Richfield at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And I say Suite 200 because we don't have a building with a steeple and all that. We meet in a commercial space. And so if you go to Richfield at 4174 Wheatley Road, you'll see a little commercial strip, and we are in Suite 200. You can see, just look for the door, you'll find us there, and we're on the eastern end of it, so we're the second to the last on the end there. It's not hard to find us, and we're right there. It's basically where Wheatley Road and Brexville Road meet, near the intersection of Interstate 77 and 271 there in Richfield. So love to have you visit us out there. If you can't make it to our regular Sunday service, you got your own church, love to have you visit sometime our Friday night Bible study. We have a Friday night Bible study every Friday night from 7 o'clock until midnight, or 7 o'clock till midnight. That's a long Bible study. I was thinking of tonight. 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. That's a little shorter. And it's an informal Bible study where you bring the questions about the Bible, and we just spend some time going through the Word of God and enjoying the fellowship. And then, of course, we have our regular services there on Sunday, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. That's our morning service. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And then on Sunday nights, our evening service, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And I like preaching through books. It makes me preach the whole counsel of God, not just what I like, and avoiding what I don't want to touch on. So it's a challenge sometimes, but never a shortage of what to preach on. It's just a shortage usually how much time to spend on it. But we enjoy getting into the Word of God and helping people understand the Bible. That's some of the things we consider to be our main purposes and point people to Christ, because after all, the Bible says that we need to be born again, but the secret to being born again, to knowing Christ as your Savior, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're not going to have faith in Christ unless you hear about Him. You're not going to hear about Him unless you hear the Word of God. So we uphold the Bible. We stick with the King James Bible for a variety of reasons, which we touch on periodically, and always glad to give an answer for why. But we hold that forth as the Word of the pure Word of God preserved in the English language for us today. And so, at any rate, you can read some of those things on our website, livewithpastoral.com. Link to our church website for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you'll find out more there as well. But anyway, let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for a beautiful day today. Just been a great day, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and we just pray your continued blessing. Use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. We've got Nancy lined up, ready to go. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. And by the way, happy 34th wedding anniversary to you and Kim.
Well, I appreciate that. That actually was yesterday. And it, by the way, it was good to see you yesterday. I was able to be at your church there, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. Pastor Annie was Rusnacko there. Of course, he's on the station here as well at various times. But it just was always good. Annual missions dinner. Good to see a number of the missionaries and things that were there, and some of our friends at the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. That's always a special church for my wife and I to visit, because a lot of people don't know this, but when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands back in the 1990s, when I got out of the Air Force in the late 80s, I began deputation as a single individual, and the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid was the first church to support me. I knew Pastor Rusnacko before I knew my wife. How's that? It was the first church to support me. And then we got married, and they met Kim, and we just got to meet a number of people at the church there over the years, Pastor Rusnacko and his wife Carol, and just always have been a blessing. And then when we left the mission field so that I could take over our home church as the pastor, I don't know if I say take over, it sounds kind of like a hostile takeover. Our pastor resigned and asked me to take the church over, and we prayed about it. We felt that was what God would have us to do. The church in Samoa already was in the care of another missionary, and its first pastor was actually already being trained. And so rather than see our church close, because it was a small church and was having some struggles, and rather than see that church close, we believe that it was God's will for us to stay, for me to become the pastor. The church in Samoa is doing great. They've even started other churches. And so we worked ourselves out of a job in Samoa as missionaries, stayed, and I became the pastor of my home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And I say all this to say this, Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid was the last church to support me. We resigned as missionaries. You know, a number of our churches obviously stopped supporting because we weren't missionaries anymore, and we let people know that we wouldn't need support anymore. We could have used the money, obviously, because the church didn't have a whole lot to support us with, but we weren't being missionaries anymore. We were I was becoming a pastor, my wife was working, and I was doing some odd jobs, and so I told Pastor Risnacko that, you should take the money you're supporting me from the church and support another missionary with it, because I'm now pastoring. And like I said, he was, Pastor Risnacko and the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid was the first church to support me and the last church to support me. How's that?
Oh, that is so interesting.
So like I say, it's a special relationship. And so it's always a joy to be a part of the missions dinner, the annual missions dinner that the church puts on. Had a great time, and of course, Pastor Risnacko likes to copy my tie at the.
Yes, I noticed that. Yeah, you wear had the matching ties with all the flags on it.
Yes,
that was very, very wonderful. I met Pastor Andy in 1986. I started going, became a member. Mm-hmm. In 1986, and that was before he married Carol.
Yes, I remember. I met him before then, too.
They got married in 1987. So mm-hmm. he was like a one-man show. I mean, he was taking the offering plate, he was cleaning the church.
Playing the piano, all that.
Playing the piano. But it was such a blessing, you know, when he married Carol, and she just does, you know, that. She does everything. Yeah. So anyhow, my concern or question today is regarding the rapture, which mm-hmm. we're all fascinated with. And I like 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17.
All right, First Thessalians 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And, it's sort of like flying from what I can gather. And, you know, as a child, I used to have a lot of flying dreams. I could fly so easily. It was so much fun in my dreams. And then when I was in Florida about 20 years ago, I went parasailing up 1,000 feet. And that was like flying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking about the song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. You say, birds fly, why can't I? But all of us Christians will be flying. I guess you call it flying. When the rapture occurs, are there any details anywhere as to exact? I mean, are we just going to like literally fly up in the air to the third heaven? Like, is there any place in the Bible that gives more details about what the flying experience will be like? Thank you.
Well, as you pointed out, the Bible says very clearly there that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. So he's coming down to heaven, and that's, of course, mm-hmm. in the clouds. Because remember when Jesus ascended up and the angels told the disciples that he was going to come in the same manner, he obviously comes mm-hmm. in the clouds. But before he comes to the earth in the second coming, there's this catching away of the believers. And that phrase in verse 17 where he comes in the clouds, he doesn't come to the earth, but he does come into the cloud level. And it says we're caught up. And the term in there is where we get the term rapture from. And when you look at that term rapture, to be caught up, It's a reference, or it's a meaning of being generally thought to be meaning caught up quickly, snatched up quickly. And we get the root word for rapid from the Latin translation of the Greek phrase that gives us caught up in the English. And in the word rapture also carries that same connotation to be caught up with something. Because like when you listen to some music, you're singing the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow. You know, people get caught up in music, right? And they say they're what? Enraptured. Yep. Enraptured. Mm-hmm. They're caught up in it. And so that's where the term rapture comes from. So there's a key right there, caught up. Not so much flying up, but it's almost as if the hand of God scoops us up. You see the difference? Because we're caught up. And a way that I can think of, when I was a kid, I remember going down to a pond or a creek where they had some tadpoles swimming around. And every once in a while, I can remember like one time in school, we did a thing where we caught tadpoles and we put them in an aquarium to watch them turn into frogs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would reach in with a jar or something, and you would bring the jar up underneath them and bring the jar up so that they got caught up in the jar.
Oh, yeah.
And and I almost wonder if that's kind of the picture. And then when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes here, starting in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." And, of course, that signifies a very quick interval. "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So again, here's that idea of being lifted up, raised. And and so to be raised, you know, I could raise something with a vacuum cleaner, you know, and then suck it up and shoop, up it goes. Yeah. But you know, when I look at this phrase caught up or raised, like raised up, it's almost got the idea of being, you know, caught up in the by the hand of God in that sense. So however it works out, a lot of times we talk about flying away like the old song that says, "Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away."
Oh, and, yes, I love that hymn.
Yeah,
And Bruce Musselman sang that so well.
Yes, he used to sing that. And so as a consequence, we often talk about the idea of flying away. but caught up and being raised up seems to imply, like I said, it's just like when I catch tadpoles, you'd bring the container underneath it and you'd scoop it up quickly underneath to catch them before they could swim off, and you would catch them up out of the water that way. You'd raise them up out of the water, and it's like the hand of God in a sense is reaching out and scooping us up and bringing us up to be with the Lord in the air.
Okay, well, I just never thought of it that way, being scooped up like that, as opposed to just instantly flying vertically upward.
Yeah, well, the end result's the same. I was going to say, the end result's the same.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, thank you for explaining that. Nope. That does put a different perception of it in my mind. So I'm looking forward to being scooped up.
I'm not going to change and put out my Pastor Al version of the Bible and say, and we will be scooped up. But I do have to point one thing out here, though. When as a missionary on deputation many years ago, traveling to a lot of churches, I used to see 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, on a board, or like as a sign over top of the doors of a lot of church nurseries. And that, of course, is the verse that says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So over the nursery.
That's very good.
I need the drum roll there to go put them ting. But
praise the Lord.
Not exactly what the verse means, but it's great for the church nursery. But anyway.
Well, thank you very much for explaining that to me. And you have a blessed evening.
Thank you.
Great to see you. last night.
Yeah, and again, our thanks go out to the church there and everybody. We just had a wonderful time. We always feel at home when we visit the Bible Baptist Church in Euclid. So thank you so much.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's my favorite activity, church activity all year, is that missions banquet. I just love hearing all the different missionaries. Mm-hmm. Well, you always give the first speech.
Food's good,
and all the different missionaries, each one has a different story to tell, and it's just fascinating. And they're all so committed. They're all so humble and committed. Pastor Andy just picks the best ones.
Well, and for some reason, I seem to be the person that's been picked to do ask the blessing on the food, and so he always asks me to share a little bit about the radio ministry and some of the things that we're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's always wonderful.
So I appreciate
that.
I appreciate it. And like I said, other than him copying my tie all the time, but I have to confess, I know where he got the tie. Same place I got it.
Yes, he does.
And when I say same place I got it, that means Kim found it.
Oh,
so my wife. But and we wore it one year. I wore it one year, and he really liked it. And so we thought we got to get another one.
Is that how it came about?
So I'm kind of expected to wear that tie every year. It's like the thing I have to wear.
It just wouldn't be the same if you didn't.
For people who are wondering, if you go to Live with Pastor Al, it's not on there yet, but our Facebook page online for Live with Pastor Al, I believe there's a picture there of Pastor Rusnacko with the tie, the infamous tie. I've got a picture of him and I both there, and I think you had some pictures from previous years, but my wife took a picture.
I did take a good picture of you and Pastor Andy, you know, with your matching ties.
Yeah.
I don't know if I put it on Facebook again for this year or not, but I did see it just recently.
Yeah.
And it does make you all look a little bit like twins.
Well, as I said at the missions dinner last night, you know, I wore a dark suit. He had a light colored suit on because, you know, there's those pastors out there like Pastor Rusnacko and myself that both wear glasses and a mustache. You know, we have to have something to distinguish ourselves a little bit. So he wore the light suit. I wore the dark suit.
Well, at least you're back, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You too. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry, who's patiently waiting tonight as well. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Getting to you a little earlier tonight. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Considering I got to get up early in the morning, but
yeah, I was trying to get you worked in a little bit after Nancy had you by a few minutes, and you are a little earlier than our next caller, so just going down in order. So you were number two, and we'll get to number three after you. How's that? So
sounds good. I got current events to talk about.
Yes, sir.
What's going on in Canada? I don't know if you've been reading about it, but there was over a million people protesting against leaving our kids alone in the schools, transgender,
and
the teachings of sexuality.
Mm-hmm. We're having a little feedback or something on your phone. You're kind of sounding a little hollow. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm on my headphones.
Okay, because it's kind of got a hollow, sort of odd sound to it.
You want me to call right back?
No, you're fine. Just keep going there. I just was curious. You were on a speakerphone or something, so it's all right.
Yeah, then they were talking about the kids, like leave the kids alone.
Right.
The school board, leave the kids alone.
Okay. Hey, Terry, we're going to have you call back because it's sort of getting worse. It's sort of getting worse. So Terry's going to call back here in just a minute, and we'll give him just a moment to call back in here because it's just have a little bit too much distortion, kind of getting worse there. But you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and while we're waiting for Terry to call back, just a reminder, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and it might be a moment, I think, before he calls back. Maybe it's there. He is, I think, coming in now. But again, we'll be with you until midnight tonight, so we got got plenty of time. We can get people on. And I think we've got Terry calling back now. Terry, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, much better, much better. You sounded like you were falling down the bottom of a trash can there. So, and you were getting deeper. So,
and, well, hopefully it's okay now.
Oh, yeah, much, much better. We can hear you better. Yeah.
Anyway, that's the subject I thought I'd bring up tonight.
Yeah, now, and we see similar things here in the United States where there's a lot of problems, you know, in the schools and not just in the schools. Right here in Ohio, for instance, we're considering we've got to put forward an issue that'll change the Ohio State Constitution in ways that are not going to be good for our children. Issue one on there, which is basically will enshrine abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. And there's a number of issues there that are just basically stripping away parental rights. And we see that happening in other states. We see that happening in Canada. And, you know, it's... I'm trying to think who said this first, but a friend of mine one time said something about it's like the spirit of Moloch in the world. You know, remember where they would sacrifice children in the Old Testament? And it's like doing that today. Doing. What's that?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Exactly. And, you know, remember they sacrificed children to Moloch. They burned them and in other ways sacrificed them so that their lives would be, you know, in some way better. You know, in some way it would improve their life and their future. And that's exactly what's going on sometimes, I think, today. But also, again, when you identify it as a spiritual problem, as Paul said in Ephesians 6, we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the devil wants to see kids destroyed. That's all there is to it. And any way that he can do it, he's supportive of it, and I do think that's part of the reason why, for instance, a couple of years back, the New York State Assembly, passed a law allowing abortion on demand up until the moment of delivery, and everybody in the chambers stood up and cheered like they just won the Super Bowl or something. And, you know, it's just like a bloodlust that's there. Terry, we're coming up on the break here in just a couple of minutes, so we'll hold you over when the break comes. So I just let you know in advance, but go ahead.
Yeah, imagine saying it to a 12-year-old, it's okay for that person to be transgender. That is wicked.
Yeah, and... You know, what was it? I just saw Governor Newsom in California just signed some legislation basically requiring foster parents to acknowledge and accept a child's gender identity, or if they want to be transgender, they have to accept that, or they basically won't be able to be foster parents.
That's what the public school teaches.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They say it's okay.
Yes, and you know that's the problem that we have in our world today. It's that here's that thing. Governor Gavin Newsom, California, signed a new law requiring foster parents to prove, not just saying they will, but to prove that they will accept an LGBTQ's child's sexual orientation or gender identity. It directs the Department of Social Services to amend the foster care vetting process to deny a family the right to foster children based on their beliefs about gender theory. Very, very sad thing. Very sad thing.
And they teach it's okay for kids to choose what they want to be.
Yeah, and here's the thing. When I was 12 years old, 10 years old, if I was being asked to make non-changeable life choices, I'd have made a lot of bad choices at that time. We don't let, you know, young kids drive automobiles. We don't let young kids sign business contracts. And yet, when it comes to doing things that will essentially irrevocably harm their and change their bodies forever the rest of their lives, We're going to let a five-year-old make that decision. Hey, stay tuned there, Terry. Stay with us, Terry, and stay tuned. We've got another hour and a half to go. We've got a short break coming, and we'll be right back. We'll hit on some of the stuff with the transgender issue there and the threats to our children. So stay tuned. We got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll find out more about me, more about the program, and also about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And we just had some information on that. We'll have more at 11 o'clock, and again in the 11 o'clock hour. So I won't repeat all of that, but just to let you know too that the Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, is our main sponsor. And of course, we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at they're on Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and that's at 4889 Turney Road. And their phone number is 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. 941-9100 and give them a call. Let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right. Well, again, our phone number here tonight is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we were talking with Terry just before we went into the break there. And we are talking about the attack on our children in Canada. It's going on. It's going on here in the United States. And people are starting to rise up and protest against this. And so, Terry, back with us there now?
Yes.
All right. Glad to have you back. And let's pick up where we were. We were talking about some of the threats to children. We had talked about the spirit of Moloch and how, you know, in the Old Testament, they sacrificed their children to the, you know, these false gods such as Moloch, and in order to have a better life, better future. And we see that happening today, and there also seems to be a bloodlust, it seems like, on the part of some of these people in order to see as many children basically killed as they possibly can. I mean, it's just, what other reason would a major political party in the United States of America have for not allowing anybody to speak at their national convention unless they support abortion? They will not allow, for instance, a pro-life person to speak on the national stage at the national convention every 4 years with the Democrat Party here in the United States. And we're seeing some of the same things in Canada, aren't we?
Yeah, and they believe that we're showing hate when we do that, too. You know, we're speaking against what they're doing.
Right. When you're speaking up for unborn children, somehow that's hate speech.
Transgender.
Yeah, and that was the that's the other thing we were touching on, is the transgender issue. You know, the idea that a 10-year-old, a 5-year-old even, or younger, can be making a decision that will alter their life and result in, you know, being chemically and surgically maimed and made infertile and doomed to suffer a lifetime of physical, mental, and other health issues because of the drugs and the surgeries.
And people commit suicide because of,
yes, in fact, you bring up a great point there, Terry. I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the things that's used to push parents to allow their child to be transitioned is the idea, would you rather have a dead son or a live daughter, or vice versa? And what they don't tell people, because when they say that, they know that what they're implying is a lie. They're implying that if you do not allow this kid to follow their delusion, and I say delusion because it is a mental illness. It's called gender dysphoria. And if we indulge them in their, if we do not indulge them in their delusion, the parents are being told, you're going to make your kid commit suicide. But the reality of the fact is that a child that undergoes transition therapies and surgeries is 19 times more likely to commit suicide than one that doesn't. Those that do not go down the transitioning pathway, most of them eventually, as they go through puberty and adolescence, generally become comfortable with the way that they were created as a male or a female, and the girls come out of their tomboy phase and they embrace their femininity. Men come out of their questioning phase and they embrace their masculinity, and they get on with life without any problem. That's what happens in the majority of cases. And, you know, in this business that your child is going to commit suicide if you do not allow them to transition, it's such a lie, because we know from studies that they're 19 times more likely to commit suicide if they transition than if they don't.
They come to know the truth, what really happens when they get older.
Yeah, well, and, you know, there is a movement here in Ohio We've had some bills dealing with this that have been in the state legislature, and some of the testimonies that have been given in support of the bill. A number of testimonies are given by people who have transitioned and now regret it. And, you know, we're talking about men who know that they'll never be able to have children and are suffering physical ailments as a result of the transitioning that they'll have the rest of their life. We're talking about women that'll never be able to bear children. And they talk about the physical problems and different things that they have to deal with that they'll be dealing with for the rest of their life because they made a mistake. As a child, they were pressured into something that they didn't really understand. And yet, we want them to be able to make those decisions at increasingly younger ages without parents or guardians or someone being able to weigh in and say, hey, wait a minute, maybe this person is simply going through some difficulties right now and they're having, you know, it's mental dysphoria. And we need to treat the mental dysphoria portion of it rather than change things irrevocably on the physical side. Why don't we try counseling and stuff instead? You know, Terry, while we're talking, there's a similar, in some ways, syndrome. And I can't think of the name of it right off the top of my head. I actually have an article on our website, livewithpastoral.com, I think, where I mentioned this. But it's where people have a problem where they have a leg or an arm or something that they don't think should be there. They want to get rid of it. And when they go to the doctor, generally the doctor doesn't say, well, okay, let's see what we can do. Perfectly healthy leg. Let's see what we need to do to get rid of it. Usually the first thing that they do is say, well, why do you think this leg doesn't belong? You know, that's not normal. But when a 5 or 10-year-old is coached by some counselor or teacher to say, I'm not sure that my male or female body parts should be there, I want to get rid of them, we're telling them, rather than say, wait a minute, why do you think they shouldn't be there? What's the reason that's not normal? We're telling them, okay, let's see what we can do to first chemically prevent them from functioning, and then let's see what we can do physically to remove them. Why? You know, on the one hand, when it's a problem with an unwanted leg or arm, we go to great lengths to counsel because that's not a normal desire. But when it comes to an unwanted, sexual part, then all of a sudden, oh, you can't question it. You got to go for it right away. And that's irrevocable. It's irrevocable.
Comes in.
Exactly. This is where we're supposed to protect children. You know, I remember one time when I was little, I believe it was my younger brother stuck a fork in the wall outlet. And I just remember it sparking and he was okay, but there was a big black mark along the side of the socket, you know, where the fork went in and all that sort of stuff. My parents didn't say, oh, wasn't that fun? Let us help you do that again. They said, listen, that's dangerous. That can hurt you. Don't do that. It's not good to do that. Isn't that what parents
should teach? That's what parents should teach children.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's
a reason. It's up to the parents, not the children, right?
Exactly. There's a reason that children cannot enter into legal binding, contracts when they're underage. You know, when I was 12 years old, I couldn't go sign up a business contract with somebody. I would have had to have one of my parents sign that for me. You know, if somebody is 16 or 17 years old and they want to go into the military and they're still less than 18 here in the United States, they can't just walk into the recruiter's office and say, yeah, I'm 17 years old. I want to join, the Air Force or the Army or whatever. And the recruiter signs them up. No, they say, well, listen, in order to do this, you have to have a parent or guardian come in and sign for you in order to do that. Why do we do that? Because they're not ready to make major decisions yet on their own. That's where parents come in.
So. Same with driving. Same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I didn't, you know, in Ohio, I couldn't get my driver's license until I was 16 years old. They since lowered it to 15 and a half for your temporary, you know, learner permit. But when I was a teenager, you had to be 16 to get your learner's permit. And you couldn't do it when you were 12 or 13. You had to reach a certain age because they wanted you to be able to make decisions and to be able to clearly see what's going on.
What's happening is they're sending people to their demise. You know, if they don't repent from what they're doing now, then if they die, where are they going to go?
Well,
I'm not talking about young children, but when they get older.
Well, and we think about it. What about the parents and the doctors and the counselors and all that are sending these kids off to these things? You know, if they don't put their faith in Christ and repent, you know, they're going to be answerable for that. The children that they were called to protect and to nurture, they're going to be answerable to God for why they did the opposite.
The parents will be more accountable.
Yes. You know, they're going to be accountable. Yes. So, you know, it is a very serious thing. So, yeah. So I'm glad that there's people in Canada who are rising up protesting these things. And there are people here in the States that are doing the same. But people need to do this because it's a travesty.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, yeah. And
we shouldn't have let this go on for so long.
No. I mean, it's if God's people, and I've said this before, and I think it applies in Canada just as much as in the States, if God's people would raise up at the next election, in fact, I'm going to go further and say at every election, and vote their biblical values, you would see the government of Canada change practically overnight. You'd see the government in the United States and in the various towns and municipalities across America and Canada, they would change practically overnight if God's people consistently stood up and voted their biblical values at every opportunity they have. But you know, the sad thing is, we don't.
And unfortunately, during this rally, I never heard the word God mentioned not even once.
Well, and, you know, then...
But the media puts a stop to that, too. The media does.
Yeah, the media does edit stuff out, but unfortunately, in a lot of cases, Christians are simply not getting involved. They're just not getting involved. We expect the secular world to fight our battles. No, God didn't say to do that. He said we're to be salt and light. We're not to make the secular world salt and light. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be out there defending the defenseless. We're supposed to be out there to be the voice for the unborn, the voice for the young children. We're supposed to be the ones out there protecting and nurturing the younger generation. That's our job. And if we're not doing it, we can't expect the world to do it. And that's a problem that we have.
We got to do it in love.
Exactly, in love, because we care for these kids. They're created in the image of God. He has a plan and a purpose for them. So, yeah. So, again, thanks for bringing this up for us tonight. I was just looking at the clock. I got another caller I got to get in here before we run out of time. But
okay.
I'm sure we'll be talking about this more in the future. So, I appreciate that. Thank you. And we'll keep praying for people there in Canada, people across the United States that are standing up in the face of evil. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Last week we were talking about the first chapter of Revelation.
Yes.
Where John sees the Alpha and the Omega.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question about Exodus chapter 33.
Okay, give me just a moment here. I'm going to open my Bible here to Revelation chapter 1, and then you said Exodus 33?
Right.
All right, let me jump over there. And in Exodus chapter 33, all right,
verse 11 to start with.
Let's see here. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend.
And then drop down to verses 17 through 23.
This is where Moses wants to see him, and Yeah, and it says that God's going to shelter him there in the rock, especially verse 20 where he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me, as thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt not be seen."
I'm wondering how he could see face-to-face in verse 11, but not in verse 23.
Well, face-to-face, it says, in fact, let me look at verse 11 again there. It says specifically, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face-to-face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." And of course, this was at the tabernacle at that time, because Moses entered in the tabernacle. It says in verse 9, "The cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." And that's the key to what you're looking at here. The Lord spoke to Moses out of that cloudy pillar that was at the door of the tabernacle while Moses was in the tabernacle. It's the same way that God spoke face-to-face with Moses at the burning bush. God manifested himself there in front of Moses in both cases. In one case, it was a bush that was burning without being consumed, and in this case, it was a pillar of cloud. This was a manifestation of God right there in front of Moses, and God spoke to Moses right there face-to-face in that sense, that the physical manifestation of God was right there speaking directly to Moses. Moses heard the voice of God. Moses spoke to God. God responded to Moses as he spoke, you know, because we see that in both cases. The difference when you get down to later in the chapter, where he's hid there in the cleft of the rock and covered when he passed by, and he said, "No man can see my face, for no man shall see me and live." You know, Moses was not allowed to see God's face unfiltered. Maybe here's a good way to explain it. When I was growing up, my dad was a welder, and he could weld anything. I remember one guy telling me when he found out who my dad was, he said, "Your dad's the best welder I ever met. He could weld a pop can to a sewer grate." And so my dad had an arc welder. And there's one thing I learned very early on. When the arc welder was running, do not look at where he's welding. You didn't want to burn your eyes because of the UV light and the intense light that comes out. My dad could look directly at the arc where he was welding because he had a face mask on that had a very thick filter. And I remember as a kid putting that filter on and looking, you know, it's like the sun looked like a faint dot in the sky because it was so thick, so that it would protect his eyes. Moses, in the first two cases where the cloudy pillar was there before him, before the tabernacle door, and earlier when it was at the burning bush, God's glory was filtered through that appearance that God manifested himself in, just as it was when John saw Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. The glory of God was behind a filter, but yet God spoke to them face to face. Go ahead.
What was the filter that was in front of John?
Well, God appeared in the form of Jesus Christ, in the form of the incarnate Christ. But still, it was a very powerful image that he saw.
So you feel that the incarnate Jesus was a filter?
Well, obviously, God's glory was filtered because nobody could have stood in the presence of Jesus when he was a man walking on the earth, because the glory of God, just like God said in Exodus chapter 34, "No man shall see me and live." We cannot look directly on God in the flesh. John later sees God, but he's caught up in the spirit into heaven. And so it's in the spirit he looks directly on God. So Moses here in Exodus chapter 33, He is allowed to see and come close to seeing God unfiltered, so to speak. But God said, you can't look directly on my face and live, because no man can see me and live. But he said, I'll shelter you, and you can see my back parts after my glory passes by. In other words, kind of like the after effects of his glory in that sense.
Means that when John had the revelation, he would have been in heaven, correct?
Well, it started when he was on the earth in the flesh, and it's in Revelation chapter 4 that John is caught up, and spiritually he's in heaven. He's in the spirit in heaven.
You don't think that he was in heaven in chapter 1?
Not right away. I mean, it says in chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, verse 1, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. So obviously he wasn't there until chapter 4. In chapter 1, 2, and 3, he was on the Isle of Patmos. In chapter 4, it says, come up hither. He's translated from Patmos, the Isle of Patmos, to heaven. Because he said, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. So immediately he was in the spirit.
Chapter 1, verse 10, that he was in the spirit also?
Well, he was praying in the spirit. I mean, he was communing through his spirit with God, and the spirit of God was speaking to him, but he was clearly on earth. It says it in chapter 1 that he was on the earth, and it says it in chapter 4 that he's caught up to heaven. So obviously he was on earth in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and in chapter 4 he's caught up to heaven. I mean, that's what the Bible says. In the spirit means that he was communicating spiritually with God. He was praying in his spirit, and that's how you know, when a believer prays, we're praying in the spirit, because our spirit's communicating with the spirit of God, and God hears us, and it's a spiritual thing. But he was on, and it says he was there on the island of Patmos in chapter 1, and it says that he was caught up to heaven in chapter 4. So yeah, it's simple logic. Hopefully
in verse 10 that he was in the spirit, that he was caught up to heaven in verse 10.
All right. Well, and we're going to have to cut this short because we're running up on a hard break here. Yeah, he was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind him a great voice of a trumpet, and that's where he sees Jesus there on the earth. And then in chapter 4, it says very plainly, again, as I said, after this I looked and beheld a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. So he's not there yet. And I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. And of course, I guess we'll have to settle with that right now because we're out of time. But yeah, okay. Very plainly he was in the spirit. And that's actually a capital S in chapter 1, because he was communing with the Spirit of God. And in chapter 4, it's a small S because it's his spirit in which he's now in the presence of the holy God in heaven. But thank you, John. I appreciate that. And stay tuned. We've got another whole hour to go tonight. Summer 1787. Delegates gathered in Philadelphia to revise the Articles of Confederation. Their efforts were at a standstill. It was hot, tempers were flaring, the Union was in danger of collapsing. On June 28th, an old man, Benjamin Franklin, addressed the president of the convention. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. With this reminder to seek God, our Constitution was born. Today, we've all but abandoned God and our nation. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. If our founding fathers realized they could not build a nation without God, what makes us think that we can keep a nation without God?